I am going to talk today about how you respond when tests come in your life. You know, last week, I actually left services kind of down and discouraged. I'll tell you why. I wrote this sermon. I took a lot of time to put it together. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And we get here early because we want to practice the music and everything for Pentecost. And we walk in, and I turn on the system, and all of the settings and everything that we program, they weren't there. We had a whole bunch of audio technical difficulties. Nothing works. Nothing was working. So I call Aaron, right? Because for the month of February, he was off at, no, that was March, one of those months. He was gone. He was in Florida living his best life. And we're up here, and every week we come in, something is different on the sound system. And he's our sound expert. So between Aiden and Micah, who are the assistants and the audio techs, they normally get everything running, but they could not figure it out. So for that entire month, we weren't able to record one message. Now, personally, I don't like recording my messages and putting them out in cyberspace anyway. It's a little, let's say, dispute Aaron and I have had for quite a while. So he's calling me like, hey, how come there was no message? I'm like, it's not working. And he said, okay, the next week, it's not working. So last week, I'm talking to him, and I'm like, Aaron, the settings aren't there. Now, I had a career in tech support and things like that, so I'm very sensitive to certain things. So he's like, well, Steve, did you open the folder and look for the file? He said, well, it should be right there. You guys are missing it. So I look at Micah and Aiden. I said, you know what? He doesn't believe us. I said, thank you for your help, Aaron. And then there's this echo. And sometimes when you're speaking, you get used to a style and a cadence and a rhythm. And that echo just threw me off. And our singers, it was just bad. Our practice didn't work. Forrest is looking for the monitor to play the drums. He's like, there's no monitor back here. And it just felt, I left that Sabbath thinking, oh, man. You know, all that work, and I was just discouraged. But when you think about the grand scheme of things and some of the trials we go through, that was really minor. Like, seriously, I still enjoyed fellowship. We had a really good Sabbath, of good community aspect, wonderful prayers. And it worked out really well. I got to spend time with my church family, a lot of time with my church family. The title of my message today is God's Testing You. I'm going to start in the book of James. In verse 2, James chapter 1, it says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wait, what? Now, that doesn't even make sense to me. How many trials do I want to face? Zero? If you wake up in the morning, right, and you get the option at the start of your day, do you want to have a good day where everything goes smoothly and the sun is shining and your bank account is on the positive side and everything is good, no trouble at the job? No trouble at home, the kids are behaving? Or do you want a day full of trials? You want to run out of gas, you want to get a flat tire, and that's even before you go to work, and your boss is in a bad mood, and your coworkers are slacking off and giving you all of their responsibilities. Oh, and by the way, you're going to argue with your significant other and your kids or your parents. How about this? Both. That does not sound like a winning formula to me. I had a comedian. He put it like this. For every question I'm going to give you two choices. Let's play this game. You wake up one day, and you have two choices. Just two choices. The choices are you going to be healthy or are you going to be sick? See, if you choose healthy, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you choose sick, well, then you got something to worry about. So let's go down that path, right? Because we're starting down the path of a trial. So if you're sick, now you have two choices. Are you going to get better? Or are you going to get worse? Now, if you get better, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you get worse, you got something to worry about. If you got worse, now you have two choices. Are you going to live or are you going to die? If you live, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you die, well, then you got two choices. Where are you going to end up? And of course, he goes on onto the, you know, typical two choices. But let me ask you, is there any one of us sitting in this audience that at any point in that journey picked the choice or would pick the choice that was the trial? Anybody? So in that context of that little trip where I don't think anyone in here would pick the worst choice, we go back to James 1:2, where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Perseverance in trials. Perseverance in trials, that's a whole different level of trial. Because what this perseverance is telling us is the trial isn't going to be over in a timely fashion. What James is telling us, in this walk, we're going to go through some stuff. Believers in humble circumstance ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Wow. Do not be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So James is saying a lot when he talks about trials and temptations. What I'd like to differentiate in your mind is there is a difference between a trial and a temptation. There's a difference between a trial and a temptation. God will put you through trials. The enemy, or sometimes the flesh, is what puts you into temptation. So when we're talking about trials today and the things that we're discussing, I want you to understand that these are situations God will place us in to test us. And as I demonstrated by the joke that I borrowed, many times we would not voluntarily choose to put ourselves in any of these trials. So God is taking us through things that we don't enjoy, that we don't want to do, but he has a goal and a purpose for it. Let's go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 8. So here Moses is giving some instructions from the Lord. He says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord has promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to do two things, to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his command." So this is important right here, because what he's saying, the purpose for that leading, is for God to build some character. He's going to put you in some difficult circumstances to see what you're going to do. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. I want you to think about that test. He said what the purpose of that test was. And that line was the same line that our Messiah, Yeshua, salvation, God in the flesh, spoke to the enemy when the enemy tempted him. I have a question for you. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? To be tempted and tested. Do you know when it happened in his ministry? Right after his baptism, and the Holy Spirit came on him and led him into the wilderness where the devil was waiting. Keep that in your back of your mind when we talk about this, because what Jesus did was understanding how testing and trials and temptation works. He used this scripture when the devil said, "If you are hungry, take these stones and make bread." But God had already tested the Israelites with hunger, to humble them. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to eat? What are you going to do to eat? And we saw how they behaved. They complained. Threatened to go back to Egypt. So he's saying, hey, I'm going to humble you by not giving you any food. Now let's take food out and let's talk about what needs do you have in your life right now that are not being met. And I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of our Messiah, because we're supposed to do what he did. Put ourselves in the shoes of these Israelites that we're talking about here in Deuteronomy, because we got the script. It's about teaching us something. So we don't live by bread alone. We don't live by money alone, power, influence, employment, health. He continues, he says, your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. He's talking to all of us. Who likes being disciplined? Who likes being disciplined? Because he just described that. He said, he humbled you, causing you to feel hunger. Who wants that? We don't like hunger. The Day of Atonement is rolling around. That used to be my scariest day growing up in the church. It's like, what? We're not going to eat for a whole... And it's crazy. Sometimes I'm busy, I'm working so hard that I forget to eat and I don't even notice till I come home at the end of the day and like, you know what? I didn't eat today because I was so busy working, going after my pursuits. But anytime I plan a fast or when it's atonement, it's like, that's the day. It's circled on your calendar. And as it gets closer, can I move it back or skip it? So this is what he's saying. He's saying, observe the commands of your Lord, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, deep springs, gushing out into the valleys, a land with wheat, barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, decrees that I'm giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and the land of slavery. So he's telling you why he's doing this to us. It says something about us. It says something about us. When my youngest son, Jaden, was diagnosed with autism, we prayed. We went to doctors and specialists and things like that. And it was something that was so heavy on my heart because it is a lot. It takes a lot of time, money, energy, everything. And you think about all of those scriptures, you know, God gives good gifts to those who ask. You know, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened. And the answer continued to be no, 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 no. Until God spoke to me. And what God said to me is, Jaden is fine how he is. He is going to have a happy life. And I gave him to you to keep you and your family humble. Now let me tell you something. Having a son that you love and you hug and you give him a big kiss and then he just balls up his fist and socks you in the face keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. So what God is saying, there's something about us that if God puts us in a perfect garden with no bills and a gorgeous woman that he made, like with his own hands, and says, you can have everything in here, everything. You can have out of every tree of the garden, you may eat. But he tells us, you know what? There's only one thing. There's one rule. Right? There's one rule. We don't have 630 commandments in the Torah yet. There's one rule. One rule. That's it. See that one tree right there? This one thing. Just don't eat it. You can do everything else you want. This is yours. You see how our arrogance works? Our arrogance says, you know what? I'm entitled to that. It looks good. It was pleasant to the eye. It's good for food. It doesn't matter if God says don't eat it. It's good for food. We still have that argument today. That was just a fruit. How about this? It's desirable to make one wise. So we eat it. That's our nature. And in many ways, we look down on Adam and Eve like, they just dropped the bag. How could they? Or we look down on the Israelites. How could they? But God right here is telling us something about our nature. He says, I got all this good stuff for you. He described it. So good I could read it again, but I don't have time. It was called a promised land for a reason, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, if I just give you that, when you're prosperous, you're going to forget me. So this is what he did. He said he led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something that your ancestors had never known, to humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced all this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors to this day. Do you understand? So I don't care if we're talking about wealth or if you're a gifted speaker or if you have leadership qualities or you can sing. Or you can play an instrument, or you're good at art. Whatever your skills are, it comes from God. And we always need to remember that. We always give him the praise for that. In Proverbs 17, verse 3, it's described like this. The crucible is for silver. And the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. What is he talking about in this refining imagery? I said, you know what? I kind of know what that means, but I'm going to do some research on crucibles. And here are some facts. Do you know what the melting temperature of silver is? Aaron might know. Pure silver has a melting point of 961.8 degrees Celsius. Ouch. Why do they melt silver? Well, they melt silver to make sure that all the impurities and other matter leaves it. And there are lots of things that affect how you purify different metals. The atomic size of the metal, the heating rate, some heat faster than others, the pressure at which you're heating it with. So, for instance, gold has a melting point of 1,064 degrees. Copper is 1,084 degrees. Lead is 327 degrees. Iron is 1,538 degrees. Why am I giving you all of this information about metals? Well, it's sometimes we look at things like, hey, I know we all have trials, but it seems like I'm having all the worst ones. How come I have all the hard trials and Bob over here gets all the easy ones? Well, you might be gold and Bob might be lead. You don't know. Or you don't know what God is fashioning that person into and what he's fashioning you into. So my advice on that is worry about your own trials because we all got plenty. So when you're melting silver, because you mentioned silver, there are a couple of things you have to do, and I was interested in learning this. The first thing you want to do is clean the piece of silver. You have to choose the right crucible for the silver, depending on what you're going to do with it. And you have to be careful when you heat the silver, because if you heat it too much or too little, you can damage the silver. You have to monitor the temperature. And once it's done, you have to pour the liquid silver into whatever mold you would like it to be in. Now let's get back to Proverbs. So it's saying God is testing our heart. So life is like a refinery in some ways. When God is testing us, he's building character and removing some of these impurities from us. Paul puts it this way in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to read 10 to 15. And this is what Paul is saying. Say, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause right there to make sure when we talk about our character, what we're going to do, how we choose to worship, the first thing is Jesus. Yeshua, salvation. He paid for everything in his blood. As our Passover lamb. And that's what we build on. And then he goes on to talk about these metals. He says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, we talked about that, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. So that's why God is putting us through these crucibles, this temptation to see what we're building. So what are you building? It says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Well, I want a reward, and I want all of you to be rewarded. But he said, if it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You know, that's one of those things when we talk about that tree that we started on, you have two choices. You can build with gold or you can build with wood. If you build with gold, you're fine. If you build with wood, well, then you might have two more choices. I don't want to go down that path. So what do we do with these trials when God is testing us? Well, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he talks about this. And he's saying, I'm going through this trial. The devil is on me. And I'm going to pray for this thing. I'm going to pray for deliverance. I'm going to pray for an answer. I'm going to pray for restoration. What happens when that doesn't come? And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he got an answer. And his answer helped me when I prayed and I did not get the answer that I wanted. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So now when you go back and you have that context of how we started, when it says, count it joy when you receive trials, this is what Paul is talking about. This is what James is talking about. This is what Jesus said when he told the devil, man should not live by bread alone. Because I don't care if I don't eat for 40 days. I don't care if you tempt me. I'm not going to compromise, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. And in the end, when our Savior passed those three tests, angels came to minister to him. So an answer is coming. An answer is coming as we grow, as we persevere. An answer is coming. But Paul shows us how to see things when we don't get the answer that we want. Now, how do we prepare for that? You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the three Hebrew boys. Okay, so let's turn over to Daniel 3. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. There's just one part I want us to think about. Daniel 3, 16 to 18. Since we're talking about being tested and fires and things like that. So we have these three Hebrew boys, and you know the story. They did the right thing, right? The king came to them and said, bow down to this idol. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. So we break into that story. In verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe their names are Ananiah, Hananiah, and Mishael. Those are their Hebrew names. These are the Babylonian names. They replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. So they said that in faith, but I think the most important part of this test and temptation is what they said next in verse 18. They said, but even if he does not deliver us, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So we're talking about being in the furnace and being in the crucible. Well, they really about to get thrown in the furnace and the crucible. And you see how they are refined through this process. So when God leaves us in the fire, to get rid of these impurities. What he's talking about is, and what he wants to see, is not when he says yes, but when he says no. Because see, the answer to no, that's a whole different kind of energy, right? It's easy to say, oh yeah, my God is going to rescue me. I'm not worried about it. That's a good answer. It's a different kind of answer to say, even if my God doesn't rescue me, I'm still not going to do what you want. I'm still not going to compromise. That's a different kind of answer. We skip over that because we tell the story and there was a happy ending and things like that. But in the chapter of the faithful, there's that line, all of these died not receiving the promises. You get that? All of them died saying, even if he will not. In Psalm chapter 66, 1 through 12. This is a song about praise, a psalm about praising God, singing and shouting. It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his presence, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. How awesome are his deeds for mankind. And he's going to go through the same things we talked about in Deuteronomy 8. He said, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come and let us rejoice. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let the rebellious rise, let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and has kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us, refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. All right, that psalm started off good, right? Praise the Lord, he does this, he does that, he's victorious. He preserved my life. He kept my feet from slipping. But when it talked about the test that he puts us through in this life, you brought us into prison? Wait, what? My dad worked in prison. And I am terrified of those places. The story he would tell me. You know, I joke with my kids all the time. I said, you know what? You guys are always asking me to come to work with me, come to work with me, come to work with me. In my house, that was a threat when I didn't act right. Okay? It's like, no. Like, why would I want to do that? I mean, for the longest, I didn't even get why my kids wanted to come to work with me. I never connected those dots ever. So when I'm reading this, I'm like, yeah, you find us like silver, yes. Okay. You brought us into, okay, that's my crucible right there. Whoa, what? You lay burdens on our backs? You let people ride over our heads. We went through the fire and the water. We don't like those things. We don't, right? I did the decision tree with you. right? And not one point in that decision tree, anyone is going to pick prison. How about this? I'm going to give you two choices. You can have freedom or you can have prison. Which one are you picking? Even the bad guy's not picking prison. But he says, but you brought us to a place of abundance. See, the theme of this psalm should be the theme of our lives. See, that psalm is saying that God is going to test Israel. Yes, he's going to let people enslave them. You know, we tell the story, we like the end part, when Joseph is king. But do we see Joseph getting betrayed by his brothers and tossed in a pit? Joseph being sold off to slavery. Joseph being falsely accused and imprisoned. And tested and tested and tested over and over so God could bring him to a place of abundance. We talk about the Hebrew boys, how they were victorious. We talk about Daniel being victorious. But Daniel had to get tested in the lion's den. So in the psalm, when it says, shout, sing, and praise, or when it says, be glad for the trials that you have, who wants to be glad because the bill collectors are chasing you? Who wants to be glad because you went to 3-4 different doctors and they're all telling you the same thing and it's not good? Who wants to rejoice because your marriage is falling apart? Who wants to rejoice because your kid's not acting right or you don't have the relationship you want with your parents? Who wants to rejoice for any of those trials? But God is saying through Paul, my grace is enough. God said through Moses, man shouldn't live by bread alone. And when Jesus Christ is here on earth and he's hungry and he has nothing and the enemy wants to get him to compromise, he repeats those words. Because being God on earth, he still humbled himself. So I know God is testing you, church. I don't know what specific area he's testing you in. I don't have that insight. No revelation was given to me. But I know that he is because it says that's how he works, to refine you into whatever you're supposed to be. So praise him through the process. Because we know how it ends. We know how it turns out. We are on the road to abundance. In this life or in the kingdom. We are on the road to rejoicing. And for what's in store for us, eat out of every tree except that one. Oh, yeah. You're going to be tested to get that kind of power. So like Paul said, you know, I sat back and I'm writing this sermon after being all grumpy and upset about the mics not working and the sound system last week, and we didn't even sound right singing. I didn't even sound right speaking. That was literally the worst sermon I've given in 20 years. I kid you not. I can't remember giving a sermon and being just like, I can't believe it just happened. Like, bomb, boom. And then writing this, it's like, oh, okay. Humble. Humility. Guess what? Your job is in the fire. And depending on what metal you're working with, sometimes it's going to be super hot, sometimes it's really, really going to be hot. But it's always going to be hot. What's heating up your life? What's heating up your life this week? What trials are you not looking forward to? What are some things so bad you don't even want to put them on the prayer list? Long-term challenges? What are you dealing with? I don't know. What prison did you get tossed in? What burden got laid on your back? Who is treading over your head? Well, figure out a way to rejoice about it. Figure out a way to rejoice about it because God is testing you. He disciplines you because he loves you, and he's doing it for our growth.